All right, today being Sunday morning, December the 3rd, 2023, first Sunday in the month of December. And man, we look forward to this Christmas season. And I thought what an appropriate message today. The lesson today is entitled, It's Time to Build. It's Time to Build. And this is a good lesson out of the book of Haggai. Haggai, it's not but two chapters in the book of Haggai. But man, what a lesson, what a message it is in the book of Haggai. And I want to ask you this question today. If you knew God's will for your life today, now if you knew God's perfect will for your life today, would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing to do it? You know what, there's a lot of people. I know a man, he's going to be with the Lord now. But I never will forget, he went to Piedmont Bible College down in Winston-Salem. And he told me, I said, I never knew you went to Bible college. He said, yeah. He said, I went to Bible college there. And he said, I knew the Lord was calling me to be a missionary to the Philippines. I said, you were a missionary in the Philippines? I said, I never knew that. And he said, no. He said, I knew God called me. But I didn't go. And I said, you didn't go. He said, there's one thing to know God's will, but there's another thing to do it. And I thought, well, why didn't you do it? You know what? There's a lot of folks that know the will of God for their lives. They know what God wants them to do. But you know what? They're not willing to do it. They allow the old flesh to take control. They allow the old flesh to say, well, you know what? This is what God said do, but, you know, I just don't think God can do what he said he can do in my life. So I'm just going to do my own thing. And folks, that's where the children of Judah were. The children of Judah knew that they were to be the witnesses for God in the land of Canaan. They knew that they were to be the witnesses to those pagan nations all around them. They were to be God's witnesses. But they compromised. You know, in this seemingly small little book of Haggai, the prophet preaches at least four messages to the people of God as he encourages them to not only find out God's will for their life, but to do, to perform God's will in their lives. And I want you to see here today several of the different messages. In this lesson today, I want you to see how this Old Testament prophet, his name was Haggai. He encouraged his people. They had been disobedient unto God. They had chosen not to do what God told them to do. And they had indeed suffered the wrath of God upon themselves because of their unwillingness to obey the Lord. But he encourages them to lay aside all the excuses, to lay aside every weight which does so easily beset us, and to run the race that God had set before them. They were to do what God said to do, and they were simply to make themselves available to God so as to know and to do God's will in their lives. Folks, listen to me today. Don't let the world keep you from doing what God wants you to do for Him. Life is too short not to live for the Lord. And one of these days when we stand before God and we give account unto Him and God said, you know what? What did you do for me while you were on the earth? And we didn't do it. Well, we're going to think about that old song of years ago, I wish I had given Him more. Well, we're going to think about that, but it'll be too late then. I want to encourage you today. Before we begin this lesson, I want you to consider a couple things. Number one, I want you to consider this morning. I want to remind you how that Haggai, he preached and he ministered unto Jews that had returned to Judah from their Babylonian captivity. They had been there for about 6 months after the second year reign of King Darius. And God wanted this man to motivate his people. He wanted them to provoke the people of God to do the work that God had told them they needed to do. Now, what was their work? Their work was to rebuild the temple, to rise up and build. And God wanted them to do this. So God used this man named Haggai to provoke them, to motivate them. And I want to encourage you through this lesson, if God has been dealing with your heart about doing something for Him, whether it be learning to be a soul winner or getting back involved in something here, maybe you used to sing in the choir and now you haven't done it in a while and you ought to be doing it. You know God's dealing with you about that. Maybe God's dealing with you about serving Him in some way. Just being faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If God's been dealing with your heart about that, don't take that lightly. Be thankful that God is still speaking to your heart. Be thankful that the Spirit of God is still dealing with you. It may be good for you as we read through this book of Haggai that you ought to go back and read through the Old Testament book of Ezra and how that God spoke to Ezra's heart and Nehemiah's heart and some of these Old Testament men of God to get a sense of the history of how that God dealt with His people through different men. But He was trying to get them all to do the same thing. And that was to motivate the people of God to do the will of God in their lives. Folks, I don't think we've got a lot more time to be on this earth. And we need to be busy about our Father's business while we can be doing something for Him. And so I want to motivate you today in this lesson. I want to encourage your heart in this lesson. So as we look at we turn to the book of Haggai this morning. But before I get to chapter 1, verse number 1, I want you to turn to the book of Ezra. Turn back a couple books to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 1. Here in the book of Haggai, Haggai is given a reprimand to the people of God for being indifferent toward God's will. You say, well, what was God's will? Well, when you look here in Ezra, God made His plan very clear to the people. And He told them to go and rebuild the temple. Ezra chapter 1. God used Jeremiah the prophet here in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. And then if you read verses 1 through 4, and we're going to read those, He spoke through the king, King Cyrus. And in King Cyrus, look what he said. He was the king of Persia. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. And look at this note. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. I remember when we were dealing with our Chinese boys and some of the kids there, and we lead them to Christ. And one of them told me, I said, now what have you done tonight? What did you do just a moment ago? He said, I put my faith and my trust in the God, not one of the gods, okay, that they had been learning about, but they placed their faith and trust in the God. Cyrus here identified the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. God used Jeremiah to to speak to the people of God. God used Cyrus, king of Persia, and then through the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and the Levites spoke. Look what the Bible said, verse 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Man, they had all the motivators and big speakers that you could ever imagine. They knew what God wanted them to do. And yet, look at verse number 6. Ezra chapter 3, verse number 6. Look at Ezra chapter 3, verse number 6. We go through all of chapter 1. We go through chapter 2. We're hearing about what God's wanting to do. You get to chapter 3 of the book of Ezra. After 7 months from Cyrus' decree, the Bible said, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They knew what God wanted them to do. They knew what God was able to do. They knew what God was capable of doing. And yet the temple of the Lord, the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. You know what? You can't build something without a foundation. And they couldn't build the temple until they took the time to set up the foundation. And folks, our solid foundation today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I hear people all the time, I don't care about that soul winning stuff. Y'all do that stuff at your church. We're into discipleship. And I say, well, you can't disciple somebody until you win them to Christ. I said, maybe that's the problem at your church. You're trying to disciple a bunch of lost people, and that's why your church isn't growing. Well, they haven't come back to me and said anything else since then. Folks, listen. Without the foundation, the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, you've got nothing to build upon. You've got nothing to build upon. Now, under God's direction, once again, God says to his people, it's time to build. It's time to rise up and do something and glorify my name. So here, as we turn the book back to the book of Haggai, chapter 1, I want us to see here. The Bible said here, let's start here in verse number 3. Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Haggai reprimands the people, okay? Now we see what he did here in verses 1 and 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. But look at verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? In other words, is it the right time for you to live in a big fancy house, and yet the house of God lieth in waste? You don't think the house of God is important? You think your place is more important than God's place? That's what God had Haggai pronounce to the people. He said, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about it, folks. That's what he's saying to them. Think about what you're doing today. You're receiving the blessings of God, and you're not taking time to give honor and glory unto God. Listen, the people had feared all the nations around them. And let me just put it in political terms today, politically correct terms, okay? They were afraid of offending everybody around them. Oh, the people around them worship this god and this idol and that stone and that wood object and everything else. And they did not think that God could make a difference in the people's hearts around them. I say this with tongue in cheek, but it's kind of like a lot of folks on Friday night said, we're not coming because it's going to rain. And you know what? Folks prayed, and God sent the rain away. God is able to do far beyond, above anything that we can even think or ask, folks. And I stand amazed to see how God works. Listen to me. The fear of the people of those surrounding nations, the fear of offending somebody, had caused them to become tolerant of sin. They had become tolerant of wickedness around them. They had become tolerant of all the ways of the world around them. And they had become tolerant of those who did not want the temple of God to be rebuilt. You know, it's sort of like what we're seeing over in Israel today. This weekend, Israel gets attacked. Okay? Hamas does what they did and causes the ceasefire to stop, okay? They broke the ceasefire. They sent rockets and army men into the camps and killed Israeli people and soldiers. Israel responds, and now everybody's telling Israel, hold back now, don't, you know, look at all these innocent children that's going to die. Well, tell them to take their hospitals out. And everybody else has got their hospitals and everything built on top of these tunnels where they're firing their rockets from, where they're storing everything at. And they're telling Israel, now, be kind, love one another. You know, listen, be tolerant. Just compromise a little bit. But all these people had... All these people had caused Judah to compromise their willingness to do what God said do. God said, build the temple. And you know what? When we compromise, pretty soon, the people say, well, Lord, I'll get around to it, but just not today. I'll serve you one day, Lord, but just not today. I never will forget in the Soul Winners Club training videos, Pastor Stainer is giving his testimony about how that preacher came by his house that Saturday morning. And he said, he gave me the gospel. I'd never heard anything like what he told me. And he said, Larry, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? He said, well, I've been baptized, and I've always been taught that I would, but I don't know that for sure in my heart. And he said, that preacher showed him how that he could be saved. And he said, the thought that went through my mind was to just wait until about 70 years old. You know, I'm just 18 years of age right now. I'll wait till I'm about 70, and I'll do it then. But he said, I'm so glad that I did it right then. And I am too, because he didn't live to be 70 years old. And folks, you may be sitting here today. Well, one of these days when I get older and I retire and I'm not so busy, I'll do something for God then. Listen, you may not live that long. You may not live that long. Hey, listen, last Sunday morning, Josie and Tom Tipton's son-in-law died. He's just in his early 50s, mid-50s maybe. Folks, Val's sister just died, what, last Sunday also, I think it was. And you know what? We don't know when we're going to die. We don't have a clue. And we need to take, if God is dealing with our hearts right now, we need to be willing to do what God says do while we can do it. There may come a day that I can't serve the Lord physically like I serve Him now. So I'm going to give Him my all while I can. While I can, I want to give Him my best. Haggai reprimanded the people here in verse number 5. And he said, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Folks, the fact is they had allowed others to keep them from doing what God's word said do. And listen, folks, we're still accountable to God no matter who we allow to keep us from doing the will of God in our lives. You say, well, my children don't want me doing this right now, and I've got this to do, and I've got that to do. And listen to me. Don't allow those children or grandchildren or family members to become the excuse that you use for not serving God. Because I'm going to be quite honest with you, God can take those excuses away. And you don't want that to happen. Listen, they had allowed the flesh to make the decisions for them, to compromise and to disobey rather than to trust God and make the right decision. And you know what? They had taken the things for God's purpose, rebuilding this temple. They had taken it and used it for themselves. And God was not going to bless that type of selfish disobedience. And I want you to look here at verse number 6. Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. Look what God told them. He said, you've sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Boy, he said, in other words, everything that you're doing is coming to naught because you're not doing what I said do. And God says, I'm not going to bless it. You can sow all you want to sow, but I'm not going to allow the seed to come up. You can dress to the hilt. I mean, buddy, just buy the fanciest clothes and everything else. But I'm not going to bless you. You're not going to be satisfied. You can't, folks, listen to me. You can't be satisfied until you're doing what God said do in your life. I never will forget when I was fighting this thing. I'd gone, again, I was running from God. I ran. I was going to join the Air Force, go into that, and get away. I was going to make my own way to be happy, I thought, okay, and have the money and the things that I thought would make me happy that I never had in life. And that wasn't what was going to make me happy. And that Christmas Eve morning when I surrendered to do what God said do, and I surrendered to obey Him, I had been saved, I trust Him as my Savior, but I was not being obedient in following Him in believer's baptism. Listen, baptism does nothing for you as far as salvation. It doesn't save you. It has no saving attributes about it. But it does let folks around you know, number one, that you're not ashamed of what God's done in your life. And number two, you're not afraid to let folks know that you belong to Jesus. And I'd waited almost 3 years to do that, trying to pacify people. Try to make myself think, well, if I'll just do these other things, everything else will be all right. And I knew down deep in my heart I was not right with God. And that Christmas Eve, I got right with God. And you know what? I would not trade it for anything in this world. I married the best wife I've ever had. Amen. She still loved me. Amen. She didn't break up with me just because she was expecting me to do what was right. And everybody knew that God was dealing with my heart about it. And I didn't think anybody knew. You know what? All the nations around them knew what God was doing with His people. And they wondered, when are they going to do and follow their God? I wonder how many lost people look at us today and say, I thought they said they were a Christian. Aren't they supposed to be at church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night? Aren't they supposed to be telling folks about Jesus? I mean, you know, my neighbor the other morning, I was walking the trash cans about 7 o'clock in the morning. I have to walk them from my house all the way up to Highway 27 and drop them off there. And I was walking back just talking to the Lord, asking Him to hold off the rain on Friday night. And my neighbor drove down because it was raining. I was walking. And he drove his garbage cans down. And he stopped me. He said, hey, preacher, how are you doing this morning? Are you talking to God again this morning? Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we just fellowship a little bit. Haggai reprimands him. But look at verses 7 through 11. Haggai then challenges the people to resume the work of God and to finish the work that they had started. You know what? A lot of people start out the race right. A lot of Christians start the race, but they don't finish the race. Oh, they get excited about living for God, and they get excited about going to church or singing in the choir or working in the nursery or being an usher or whatever else they may do. And then the fact that it's hard work. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. Settles in. And people say, oh, this is just too much. I need my Sunday afternoon. I need my Sunday to myself. I need to go to the ball game today. I paid for Ravens tickets, and I got to go to that. Listen, folks, there's no Ravens ticket worth missing out on doing what God said do. Listen, there's no job that's worth sacrificing doing that to miss out on doing God's will for your life. It's just not worth the money. You make all this money, God said, and you put it in a bag that's got holes in it. It's just not worth it. So he challenges them. And look what he said in verse number 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You see, instead of them living in the fear of serving God because they might offend somebody, God had told them to just trust him. Trust me. And be the witnesses to those heathen nations that you ought to be for me. Let them know about the greatness of your God and how that their God has nothing. Their multitudes of gods has nothing over the Lord God of Israel. And he challenges them here. And you see, God cared. You may not believe this, but God cared for those heathen nations. You know what? If you and I had been living back then, we would have been part of those heathen nations. We're those old Gentile dogs that the Jews talk about a lot, okay? And you know what? Those Gentile dogs, God wanted them to be saved as well. You go back to the book of Joshua. I want you to do this. I've written it down here. I thought about this as I studied this lesson this week. Turn back to the book of Joshua chapter 4. I want you to see something here. When Moses, the servant of God, died, and God brought Joshua in to lead the people through, he said to them in Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse number 15, the Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all the banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, now God had commanded them, each tribe, to take one stone. And they took out of Jordan. Those 12 stones did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And why did he do it? Look at the next sentence. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. And that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. Workers of Church of the Open Door, did you get to see that mighty hand of God in action Friday afternoon? Buddy, I'm going to tell you, the mighty hand of God and all the folks that came in to see it knew it. I don't know how many. I was the greeter, okay? I was greeting people in the Bethlehem. And all the folks that came up, so many of them came up and said, we thought it was going to be rained out. And I said, the Lord had a different plan, amen? And he is glad that you're here tonight. Welcome to Bethlehem. And they came in and they enjoyed it. And man, we had a time. Listen, as far back as Genesis, I'm not going to take time to read it. I don't have time. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Write these verses down. You go back and look at it. Genesis 18, 18. Genesis 22, 18. Genesis 26, verse 4. Exodus chapter 7, verse 5. Exodus 14, verse 4. And Exodus chapter 14, verse 18. And so many other places. I don't have time to read them all. It places the fact here of how that God's desire for Egypt, through all the plagues that he sent, was so that Egypt might know that I am the true and living God. That's what God told Moses. He wanted Egypt to turn unto him. He wanted them to turn away from their idols and false ways of worshiping. But the sad thing was, instead of God's people being influenced to do what God said do and bringing God's influence upon a pagan nation, the people of God compromised their convictions. They compromised and they allowed the pagan world around them to influence them. They liked the way that they dressed. They liked that the way that they looked provocative. And the ladies looked so sexy. And the guys looked so worldly. And you know what? I'm telling you, that's what's going on in our world today. The day has come when no longer do people give their best unto God. They just come as they are. They give whatever they want to give. Doesn't matter if it's what God said or not. They just do anything they want to do. And they expect God to bless it. And then they wonder why God does not bless. Folks, disobedience to God always begins with fear. It always begins with compromise. It was true in the lives of the children of Israel, and it's still true in the lives of people today. There used to be a time when folks could look at different people and they'd say, man, they look like a Christian today. And now, it's not that way anymore. It used to be when Christians spoke differently than the world spoke. But it's not that way anymore today. It used to be when Christians would say, I believe the Bible. And today, they're not even asked to bring a Bible to church service with them. Folks, it begins with compromise. Disobedient from the heart is a serious matter before God. And if we choose to compromise, we choose to disobey God, we're making the wrong choice. I say that today, and I make it serious today. I want you to understand, God wants us to be serious. You and I are going to stand before Him one day. We're going to give account unto Him one day. And He wants to be able to stand there before us and look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear Him say that. And now in Haggai chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, we see how God tried to get the attention of His people so that they would choose to do right and choose to obey Him. Look what He said. God has Haggai tell the people, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. I wonder if disobedience by the children of God could be a reason that we're seeing so many tough times in America today. I believe it could be. Because the people of God have forgotten the God of the people. We've put him aside. Who would have ever dreamed that we would live in a day where if you stand for the truth of the Word of God, you would be counted an enemy in America. You would be counted as a terrorist. You'd be counted as one that's a troublemaker, a hate monger. It was that way in Haggai's day. And now look at chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. How we see that the people heard the message from God. They remembered what God had done to provoke them. And the people responded positively to the message from the man of God. What a glory it is unto God when people say, you know what, preacher? You're right. I've not done what I ought to be doing for God. You know what? What a great day it is when people say, preacher, I need to get my heart right with God again. And they go to God. And look at verse 12. The people learned to once again to fear and respect God rather than sinful men. Look what happened here. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Oh, praise God. And look at verse 13. The people learned that through disobedience unto God, they had nothing to fear. For the Bible said here that then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. When the people said, Lord, you're right, but I'm afraid to do what you said do. God, we're afraid of what the people around us are going to say, what they're going to do to us. And God said, Haggai, tell them, I'm with you. And Haggai said, God told me to tell you, I'm with you, saith the Lord. And then look at what the Bible said in verses 14 and 15. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king, they chose to obey the Lord. Amen? Amen. Oh, what a blessing. And you know what God did? When the people chose to obey him, he began in chapter 2 to tell them about the future glory that was to come. If you'll come back next Sunday, that's where we'll start. Amen? The future glory. Listen to me, folks. There's glory from God when you do the will of God in your life. Trust him today and be willing to obey him. Father, we love you today. And I pray, oh God, that you'll help us, Lord, to be willing today to admit our compromises and admit our sin. And Lord, turn back and do what thus saith the Lord. Bless your people today. And Lord, if there be someone that's listening to the sound of my voice, help them, Lord, today to come to know you as their Savior. God will thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in the house of God.